No one.
What's up, Gator Nation? Welcome into the latest Gators Online show. Zach Albaverde here, and we are going to preview the regular season finale for the Florida Gators against FSU in Doak Campbell Stadium. We'll be joined by Matt Lesser from War Chant to learn about the Seminoles coming off of their win last week and kind of what's been certainly a down year for FSU. And this would make their season, no doubt, if they can get a win over the Gators. Florida's coming off back-to-back wins over ranked teams, a big upset over Ole Miss last Saturday in the Swamp. And it's the first time that the Gators have gotten back-to-back wins over top 25 teams as an unranked team since 2003. So it's been quite a while, but we don't need to talk about the Gators too much. You guys want to learn a little bit more about the Noles in this matchup on Saturday. So to do that, we'll be joined by Matt now and learn some about FSU. Matt, appreciate you joining the show, man. How's it going?
No problem, man. Good. Glad for, or happy the season's almost over, really.
I know, man. It's been tough sledding in Tallahassee. They are coming off of a win. So that's good.
Win number two.
Well, before we break down this team and kind of where they're at personnel-wise and some players that Florida fans should know, please address what happened last week. How, I know it was expected probably for them to get a win, but it had been a long time coming. And what do you feel like that did for the team and kind of some of the stuff that they've said this week?
I really think it was good for confidence. And I think the biggest confidence booster it is for us, for the wide receivers, because in general, you look at how the season has gone, just all the drops. I mean, they had probably one of the highest drop rates in the country. You look back to the Duke game where, like, there was just multiple wide open where if maybe one of those balls is caught, you're looking at a completely different score and a completely different game. And you're actually seeing, or last week you actually saw the wide receivers being able to catch the ball and not just going straight through their hands. So I think that's huge for confidence, especially going into this week. And the running game finally got going. That, I don't know, we'll see how that goes. But in general, it's just a confidence builder going into what you have to treat this week basically like the Super Bowl.
No doubt. And if they can get a win on Saturday, I'm sure that they're going to celebrate it that way. Yeah. So obviously, FSU's coming off of a really big season in 2023. They run the table during the regular season. Unfortunately, don't get the bid that they want and kind of lost their team before that Georgia game. And then they come out of the gate, three straight losses. They got a win over Cal, which was a close game. They easily could have lost. At what point, Matt, would you say that you realized, and maybe others in the media, that the potential for a 1-9 start was possible? Like when did it look like this thing could go south?
I want to probably say pretty quickly, honestly. Georgia Tech was completely different from what we thought. Like, even from because we get to go to practice. This is the only week all year we really haven't gotten to see practice. And from just seeing preseason camp and all that, and then getting to the Georgia Tech game, it was so completely different that's where it kind of opened up to where, man, where could this free fall be? And then you got to Boston College, and you're like, well, this matchup sucks. Like, there's, like, in my opinion, I don't know how Vegas had that as I think it was like a 17, 14-point spread for that week. And it was, to me, clear off the jump that this could be a really tough game for them to win. So I'd say after that is when you kind of knew that, like, this isn't going to go well. You had a little bit of hope with Cal. Obviously, you're like, all right, maybe they can get it back on track. But SMU killed those pretty quickly. But I would definitely say after the Boston College game is when you kind of saw that this wasn't going to go super well.
So right out of there, week two.
Yep, 100%.
And then it had to be tough for Norvell to get that loss to Memphis. That one hit a little close to home,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Especially with a guy who he mentored, right? And that's a guy I think at one point he was looking to bring on staff as well as Silverfield, the Memphis head coach.
Now, before we get into FSU's current quarterback situation, can you just take us through the ride of DJU and
what that was like? Man, that was wild. And I think part of it was because the FSU didn't have a running game, right? When you look at Oregon's him at Oregon State, because he was decent at Oregon State. He had a running game. He didn't really like – it wasn't all on him. Once the running game kind of just fell apart for FSU, he's not that guy to just make it all about him, right? He needs that support around him. And with the offensive line, he didn't show to be mobile. We're not really sure if he was at 100% when it came to that and, like, not being able to run. It was a wild ride, man. It wasn't even like – again, even that we didn't really expect. We didn't need him to be the guy. We didn't need him to be the guy who does everything. Like you guys want DJ Lagway to be the guy who does everything, and you see that. DJ was never supposed to be that. He was supposed to be a game manager who can just distribute the ball and do what he needs to do. And then, like I said, he became more than that, and he couldn't do that. And it just – it was wild, man. It was – I think if they would have benched him earlier and put Brock or Luke in – obviously Luke now, but I think they would have benched him – probably after the bye week going into the Memphis game, around the bye week going into the Memphis game, it probably could have seen Brock or Luke gain more traction now and build it up. Like DJ Lagway for you guys, he got to go in fairly early after waiting and looking for a while or learning for a while, like we talked about over on the other show we did. There just wasn't like Brock and Luke got thrown into the fire with Clemson. That's not really the game you want them to be first out there for.
Yeah, and ever since it was apparent that DJ wasn't working out, I think it was clear that that was going to impact Florida State season, and it has. It does look like they maybe have found a quarterback in Luke. What were your thoughts on his performance last week, and looks like he'll get the nod on Saturday?
I mean, yeah, he's going to start. Took Norvell. If you watched Norvell's press conference on Monday, it took him a little bit when he got asked that question to finally get to the answer that Luke was starting. But Luke will start again. You could tell he settled in, but it took him a while to settle in. At first it was kind of unwatchable, like just where all these balls were going in the first quarter. But then once he settled down, you finally saw him to get it. And Norvell was saying that, like, he wasn't looking on the sideline as much for help. Like, he finally, everything was clicking, getting that confidence, which is something we really haven't seen from a quarterback at Florida State all year. Now, in general, for the future, I do still think they'll go for a portal quarterback. I don't think Luke is super long-term going into next year. I think they maybe still want to get him a red shirt and all that kind of stuff in the future. But for now, it's good to see that he's getting these reps and learning, and it is starting to click a little bit.
Just overview on their offense outside of the quarterback position. What's gone wrong there? What have been some bright spots on offense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if there are any bright spots on offense until that Charleston Southern game, for being honest. They finally scored over 21 points. It took 11 weeks to get to that. But, I mean, it all started with the offensive line. We were coming into the season expecting this to be – they were like a veteran, experienced group. Sometimes when guys have been experienced and they show mediocrity throughout their career, maybe they're just not a great unit. So I think that was kind of – we learned that pretty quickly, that that's what – because going into the year, it was this is going to be a run-first team. And obviously when your offensive line's not great, you can't really do that. You know, Darius Washington was supposed to be this All-American. He was an All-American at one point and just completely fell off. They've had like 9 or 10 different combinations at this point. Phew. So you just haven't been able to, you can't really work together once it gets to that. Like, it's just hard for an offensive line. So if you're looking at the problems, I think it all comes down to that. And that's why you had to get off of DJ, because DJ couldn't run out of the pocket. And I think this is something we've seen for years prior. And Jordan Travis kind of masked it with his mobility. And it just kind of all came to one crashing halt when you didn't have him as mobile quarterback as Jordan Travis. As for bright spots, I mean, the receivers are still athletic, right? They're still a very athletic, speedy bunch. They just haven't been able to get separation a whole lot this year. And I think that this week could be the one you see them get that separation. It's just a matter of if the offensive line can block.
Yeah, and no Richie Leonard either for Florida fans wondering if they were going to face the Gator. He's out with an injury. Defensive side of the ball, just your overview of that unit so far, Matt. What are some things that have been bright spots for them, and where have they struggled?
The bright spots have definitely been the corners, Zaire Thomas and Fenchel Cypress. Fenchel Cypress has been out the last two games, but I think Norvell said today he's been working out and it's been looking better. So probably leaning towards him playing this week. But I mean, AZ has probably been one of the best players on the field for Florida State. He's at the point where he's not getting as many stats, right? I mean, the tackling has really been the problem, but the coverage has been good. And, I mean, he was going into the year, he was probably the best player that we all knew that he was like that first round type of guy, him and Pat Payton, but especially AZ that we were really excited to watch. The defensive line, the interior guys, Josh Farmer and Daryl Jackson, while overall the defensive line has been disappointing, the interior guys have kind of picked it up, especially Daryl Jackson. You're seeing him kind of take the track that Braden Fisk took last year where you didn't see those stats early on, but you're starting to see him. Like now he has 3.5 sacks all within the past few weeks. So you're kind of seeing that to come. But the guy who's really emerged on the defense is linebacker Omar Graham. He is one Florida State fans used to get enraged whenever they'd see him on the field the past like year and a half until the end of the season, because it's just like it seemed like he couldn't do anything good. And then you get to that North Carolina game, Notre Dame, where he's starting to like flash a little bit. There was one, he stopped Amarion Hampton, who's one of the best running backs in the country, on the 1 yard line on a 4th and 1. So, I mean, that was where it was like, okay, well, maybe this kid is good now. Finally, I think he was dealing with some injury stuff as well. So it was good to see that. Blake Nicholson as well has done good. And Edwin Joseph has been a guy at nickel who has kind of emerged. He started off on special teams, making some like great hits early on. So he earned that opportunity being a co-starter at nickel.
For sure. We're joined by Matt from War Chant. Matt, before we get to some matchups and keys to the game,
yep.
I just got to get your reaction to what the mood is in Noel Nation and around Tallahassee just off of this recent recruiting run that Florida's been on as it relates to FSU with the guys that they flip. Like, just what's the mood like at, with Seminole fans leading up to this game?
I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, because I do a lot of recruiting stuff over at War Chant, I've kind of considered this 2025 class dead for a few weeks now. It's one of those things where with the National Signing Day being moved up and all these staff changes are going to have to get made, that it's going to be hard to sign kids in general. From Tramell going, I mean, he was always flirting with UF and at the end to go over there after shutting it down. Byron Lewis was probably the most surprising one as it kind of came down to these past 2 weeks, because UF wasn't even in the Final Four when he made his decision, and now all of a sudden in 2 weeks, he's going to UF. That could signify some coaching changes coming, who knows. But it just – all these have kind of come out of nowhere and stacking. They're clearly going to have to hit the portal hard this year, but hopefully – I think the blueprint has to be you hit the portal hard this offseason. It has to be the last time you hit it as hard as you do, and you have to kind of go to this 2026 class and start building now.
What are your expectations for Solomon Thomas? Just your read on the situation.
So I still think he's going to stick. I think the main thing is who the offensive line coach is. I don't think there'll be a decision until then. And if he vibes with that guy, if he likes him and he wants to play for him, I think he'll stay. I can tell you from before they fired Alex Atkins, I thought that Solomon was a goner as soon as they fired him. I always thought that the relationship was so tight that no matter what, if Atkins is here, he's staying. And I was surprised that when I got on the phone with him, he was like, I'm going to wait. And it was, I think he is eventually going to stick. It just depends on who that offensive line coach is. I'd leave Florida if he doesn't stick.
All right. So there's your FSU recruiting fix for all you Florida fans that want to know what Matt thought. So, Matt, I'm going to get to an ad read real quick and then we'll get into some matchups here. Definitely want to encourage Florida fans, if you have not done it yet this season, go to roback.com for the best fit, best feel. Those who aren't familiar with Roback, they're completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable active wear. They released their new licensed game day collection, and it's fantastic. Novel polo designs and clean hoodie, Q-tip designs for some of your favorite schools, including Florida. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Use the code Gators20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off all new customers through the end of this year. That's spelled roback.com. 20% off all performance polos, shirts, and more with the code Gators20. All right, Matt, you've mentioned some of these players before. maybe this will be a short segment, but I do want to ask you some guys to watch on both sides of the ball that you feel like could give Florida fits, either guys that have been some of FSU's better players, or maybe in this matchup, maybe there's some chances for them to have a big game. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Who, you know, two or three guys that Florida fans should be watching for?
I think the main one's got to be Ja'Kai Douglas. He's been the most reliable receiver all year. And with Florida kind of being down on the secondary, having a bunch of injuries, that's a guy that probably really needs to step up and have a good game if Florida State's going to have any chance of winning this. Because, again, that's really, like I said before, the receivers are still really good athletes. And that's been the message all year of this team is super talented. It just hasn't clicked. So with that kind of disparity from the corner receiver matchup, I think the guys, number one, like I said, Ja'Kai Douglas, Hakeem Williams finally had like a good day. I think his confidence is up after last week. So that's another one to watch, former five-star. Malik Benson, former number one JUCO player who we've kind of been waiting to see break out all year. He has, I mean, he's a second leading receiver on the team, but he is freaky fast, freaky athletic. He's been fun to watch in practice all year. Obviously he hasn't translated too much, and that's had to do with the quarterback play as well. But I think that receiving core is the biggest ones you have to watch. When it comes to everything else, I think Cam Davis and Roydell Williams, once the running game gets going, I like the big bruising type backs. Roydell Williams is expected to play for the first time since, I think, the Memphis game. Wow. Cam Davis came back last week for the first time since the Duke game. So those are guys, and I like them both a lot. And obviously you have Lawrence Toafili, who's your athletic back, that you'll see a lot on the screen game.
Feels like he's been there forever.
Yeah. Yeah, this is last game. So maybe that's a little extra motivation for him too.
Do they use any of those other running backs they got? Holmes, Singleton?
I mean, you could see a whole combination. They like to use a bunch of different backs. It's been a pretty banged up room this year with, I mean, Jalen Lucas has been out all year. Like I said, Roydell's been out most of the year. Cam Davis missed a lot of time. So you've seen Keziah Holmes has stepped up. Sam Singleton has been one to really step up, who has kind of been a surprise. He had that 99-yard kickoff return against Duke. He's been one of the guys who's really emerged in practice. And Makai Danzy, who's the freshman from Tallahassee, he's been one of my favorite guys to watch. He had one big catch last week against Charleston Southern, but in practice, man, he's just a freak who I'm excited to see for the future.
And then for Florida fans who haven't seen FSU's new starting quarterback yet, Luke, I'll let you pronounce the last name.
Yeah.
What can they expect from him? What are the strengths of his game?
I mean, he finally – the only thing that's been wrong with him is he kind of sits in the pocket too long. You saw him start to get used to that more, get that presence last week. And I think him actually starting a game rather than going in the middle was a big part of that, getting the feel. You saw him taking more steps up in the pocket, just really being able to launch. He's not a runner. He can run, but he wouldn't describe himself as a dual threat kind of guy. Again, this is one where I think his offensive line is really what matters. And when it comes to that, if the offensive line decides to block this week, I think you could see him really light it up.
And what's the pronunciation on that last name?
Oh, sorry, Cromenhoek. Luke Cromenhoek.
All right.
It's the five-star battle of freshman quarterbacks that way too early.
That's right. No, we're getting a little early preview. And then Matt, on the defensive side, who are some standouts there for FSU that could end up in Florida's backfield or making plays in the back end?
I'm really kind of interested to see what Patrick Payton does this week. In the press conferences, I mean, last year he was supposed to be the next Jared Verse, right? Because now Jared Verse is leaving. He was supposed to take over going into the year. And during the press conferences this week, the defensive ends coach, special teams coordinators, John Papuchis, was like, yeah, originally going into the year, he was supposed to be it. Like, he was supposed to go to the NFL. And now we're not so sure. And what they haven't really said at all this year until the bye week, and they kind of just started saying it yesterday in the press conference, was that after the coaching changes, after everything, they're trying to clean the slate, like wipe everything clean. And I think that kind of does well for these guys in the defensive line. I mean, they are still talented. It is still technically probably one of the most talented offense or defensive lines in the country with Patrick Payton, Josh Farmer, Daryl Jackson, Marvin Jones Jr. Like, stars matter when it comes to the talent thing, and those guys are it. It just hasn't really proven a whole lot. I do think Daryl Jackson and Joshua Farmer, interior guys, are going to be your main ones that could cause you problems. The linebacking core hasn't been great. Like I said earlier, Omar Graham has been the guy who stepped up, but there really hasn't been a whole lot. Cam Riley has been really athletic. He's been decent, the transfer from Auburn. And then, like, the secondary is probably the strongest point when you get to AZ and Fentrell Cypress. AZ's fun to watch. He's going to be – I mean, I would assume he's on Elijah Badger. I'd assume he's on the big guy. And it's going to be – he's going to give him a tough time.
Has Fentrell been as advertised in from where he was ranked coming out of the portal?
So, I think better this year. I think last year's expectations were a little high, and he kind of got buried. You didn't really see it. Or, like, it wasn't as much as what we were expecting, not last year. But I think this year you've seen him step up a little more. Again, with DBs, it's the stats is the kind of the weird thing that doesn't matter, right? But I believe he leads the team at pass breakups currently. Again, though, those guys have both been super reliable this year.
Now, punters are people too.
Punters in the country.
That's
best,
right.
Best kickers in the country.
What can you say about FSU specialists? And who knows? Maybe if it's close, those guys are going to have a big game.
Yeah, the best players on the team, right? It's just the way it's been all year. I think today they both got finalists for their best in at their positions. Man, Mastro has been just flipping the field. Has been game changer for him, and Fitz has been. I mean, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, like, everyone hated Fitz. Like, it was bad, right? Like, it came to the point where, like, dude, why are we even bringing him out there? And then the last 2 years, he's been really consistent. Hasn't missed all year. They've had that one where, I guess it didn't count as a miss for the stats, but where the Mastro as the holder kind of bobbled it at Duke. But other than that, man, it's been great. I mean, I remember watching on – I didn't go to Ireland, but watching on TV that 59-yarder from Fitz, I was like, wow, it was insane. He's had an insane year. They both have, really.
Yeah, one of the few bright spots.
Yeah. The bright spot.
we'll get one more ad read in, and then we'll get you out of here, Matt. Want to encourage all Florida fans to go check out MyPerfectFranchise.net if you're ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream, looking for a side hustle while working your current job, wanting to diversify, build wealth, and or leave a legacy. Andy can help. He's a franchise consultant as well as a franchise owner, and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. You can learn more and contact Andy anytime at MyPerfectFranchise.net or calling or texting him at 404-973-9901. Final thing for you, Matt, keys to the game on Saturday. FSU is going to put everything they've got into this one. Obviously, Florida will too. They're trying to end a losing streak and improve their status for bowl eligibility. What do you see for FSU as the keys to the game on offense and defense? What do they have to do to make it competitive and ultimately try to pull off the upset?
On the offensive side, I've kind of harped on it this whole time. I think it comes down to the offensive line, right? I mean, I think this is the best chance these receivers have to have a good game on a bigger stage. And that all comes down to if Luke can get the ball out on time. And that then comes down to how much time does he have in the pocket. So that's really, I think if the offensive line has their best day, which that's definitely possible, that's where Florida State could win this game. And on the defensive side, it's stopping the run. I think in general, a lot of people trust if Fentrell's there and if AZ's there, you'll have good coverage. And it's been, I mean, they've had one of the worst rush defenses all year. And I think Florida's probably going to attack that hard with how good their run game has been. And it's even shown on the recruiting trail, getting Byron and everything for the run game has just been what Florida's relied on, especially last week. I think if Florida attacks that and can get it, it's not going to be close. But if they step up there at those two spots, I think FSU actually has a shot.
What do you feel like is the, you know, mood coming out of Tallahassee as it relates to this matchup with this team? I mean, is the talk? Do they feel like they've got a chance Saturday? Are they kind of waiting on Saturday to let their play do the talking? I mean, what's kind of the vibes?
From the fan base, I think we think we're getting blown out. That's what I think that is. But from the inside, I think they do think they have a shot. I mean, I wasn't there today for post practice, but again, it's Super Bowl week. You have to treat it that way. It's their last for all these guys. That's gonna be their last game at Doak. It's also Doak at night, so it's a different atmosphere. And if you look at, I mean, has DJ Lagway hasn't started a game on the road yet, has he? Because he didn't play at Texas.
That's a good question. He has played on the road, and he had to take over as the starter at Tennessee.
But
he hasn't from start to finish and like starting the game out on the road. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and that's going to be a hostile environment too. So it'll be kind of interesting to see. I mean, these last two big wins have come at the Swamp, and I went to the Swamp for the first time last year for this game, and I loved it, and the atmosphere was great. So that obviously plays into it. So it's going to be interesting to see how much the atmosphere really affects, because, I mean, people are still going to show up for this game. The only people – because even – that's what I've been impressed with Florida State is even at 1-9 last week, the alumni was still there. The student section was kind of empty, but that's also because Thanksgiving was coming up, so I think everyone went home early. But I've been surprised with how FSU fans have still kept continuing to show up. So it's still going to be a hostile environment, even with half the stands gone and 2-9. Yeah, I have to correct myself now.
Yeah, don't forget that win. They need it counted, Matt.
Yeah, they do.
Well, rivalry renewed on Saturday. This thing is going to kick off inside Doak Campbell Stadium. It'll be on ESPN2 at 7 p.m. We'll have live coverage at Gators Online. Matt and his crew will have live coverage at War Chant. Let the folks know, Matt, where they can follow you and read some of your recruiting work as well, because I think some Florida fans are going to want to maybe know some Solomon Thomas updates in the next week or so.
Yeah, at Lacerre too on Twitter. Or sorry, not that was my old one. At Lacerre Matt on Twitter. Just go follow me over there. And then War Chant, obviously, is where all my work is. You guys do great recruiting work as well, and you do great teamwork. I love following Corey and Keith's stuff. Keith's my guy when it comes to UF recruiting always. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to be back in Tallahassee on Saturday. First time in the history of this rivalry that both teams are starting a true freshman quarterback. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was the first time. Wow.
Yeah, first time. So, kind of a new storyline. And like you said, probably a matchup that we're going to see these two kind of facing off for years to come. So, Matt, we really appreciate the time. And we'll see you in Tallahassee. For Matt, I'm Zach Albaverde. We'll see you guys on Saturday for our rapid reaction from Doak Campbell Stadium.